This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com. I'd smile
when I was crying. Marty, welcome back in, everybody. Kicking off the third hour here of the Budweiser Sports Line, brought to you by good friends at Bama Budweiser. Let's head over to our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline, Jason Caldwell, AUTigers.com, joining us today. Hey, Jason, how's it going?
I'm good, guys. What about y'all?
We need some help. We need some help. And you're the man to help us, Jason. Are you ready?
Yeah, we'll give it a shot.
The conspiracy theorists on this radio program over the last couple of days since the Auburn scrimmage on Monday, Jared Stidham threw two interceptions at the scrimmage. And later on, no, it was Sean White. Where did that start? What exactly happened, and how was the ultimate truth arrived at on that one? What's the backstory, Jason?
Yeah, basically, closed scrimmage, so, you just have to kind of find your information. Well, the start of that comes from, talking to the people you get to talk to. One of those guys is Darryl Williams, and Darryl plays defense, and unfortunately, when you're depending on players sometimes, those guys are focused on their job. They're not really worried about it. You hear it a lot of times, guys like, I didn't really know who was on the other side. You hear offensive linemen even say, hey, we don't even realize who's in a quarterback at times in scrimmages, because they rotate guys in and out. Asking, what happened in the scrimmage. He talked about an interception, and he was asked who threw it, and he said, I think it was Jared. He never said it was Jared Stidham. He said, I think it was Jared Stidham. There was never a mention of a second interception thrown by Jared Stidham, and it just, for some reason, it was written that way. I don't know why. But after talking with several other people, realized that not only did Jared not throw one, he didn't throw either. That's just the way it is when it's closed. In all honesty, I think Gus Malzahn could have, if you come out and go, hey, here's what happened, a couple of big plays, a couple of turnovers, and be done with it, then you don't have to worry about things like this. But in the end, it's not a big deal. The coaches know what happened, and now everybody else knows what happened, even though a lot of people still can continue to run those original stories. I don't know why, but that's what it is. It's just some confusion by a guy that, he was asked a question, and he tried to give an answer, but those guys, a lot of times they're focused on their job and not who's playing quarterback on the other side.
With that being said, Jason, you've written an interesting piece just now up at AUTigers.com. 5 takeaways at the midway point of football camp at Auburn. What is a snippet of that has to do with the quarterback battle as it stands right now? How do you see it?
Yeah, I thought coming into it that it was probably going to be Jared Stidham's job to lose based on the spring. Just his fit in this offense, Chip Lindsey, everything just seems like it's tailor-made for him. So, I think unless he goes out and backs up Saturday, then I would think that, this thing is getting closer to being done. And, I would guess, unless there's a setback Saturday, that we'd probably have something next week.
Yeah, I would certainly think so. As you're getting closer to that opener, you want to have that starter solidly in place, taking as many reps as possible. I would think the competition phase of it has got to be over.
You got one more scrimmage Saturday, and I think that'll be the opportunity. Like I said, I think then, if Sean White comes up and lights it up, Jared struggles a little bit, Malik Willis likes it, who knows? I think it would take something like that, though, for this thing to continue much longer anyway.
I saw something, Jason, and are things going to maybe, once the starter is announced, kind of ratchet it up a little bit? Because it seems that the quarterbacks have been put in positions to look good or maybe boost their confidence where there really hadn't been maybe a lot of, quick decisions that need to be made. It was something to the extent of, quarterbacks were put in a position to look successful in practice and in scrimmages. Have you heard anything like that? What do you make of that?
No, I think that's exactly 100% false. Matter of fact, they went out and ran a very limited playbook in the first scrimmage. You play without Cameron Petway and Kerryon Johnson and Austin Golston and Braden Smith only play one series. I don't see how that is any form, shape, form, or fashion a way to try to make a quarterback look good. So I don't think they were put in positions to go out and succeed in the first scrimmage. I think they did a very limited, very basic playbook trying to find out, you know, what the offensive line looked like, more about the third running back, and they didn't give those guys a ton of things to do. They didn't throw a whole lot of RPOs, which is what, you know, that's what Jarrett Stidham, I think that's where he's going to, you know, excel. So, no, I think that's exactly false. I think they were not put in positions to succeed in scrimmage one. I think they'll get more of a chance to do that in scrimmage two when they get more of the playbook.
Jason, a local question here. Any cause for concern that Marlon Davidson was held out of the scrimmage?
No, you know, he's a little dinged up, but, you know, he's one of those guys. The crazy thing about it is, you know, we're still, I mean, 3 weeks and 2 days, I think, from a game. There's still a long time in this preseason left. They know what he can do. They know what Andrew Williams can do. They don't need to push those guys. And so they're just taking their time, letting those guys heal. And, you know, a lot of times you try to come back too early from getting rolled up on, and, you know, it's something that could lead to another injury, something like that. So I think they're just taking their time with him. They feel good about it, feel like he's fine. Just no need to push him back.
So nothing serious with Marlon Davidson in particular?
I hope not.
No, I mean, he got rolled up on in the scrimmage and just tweaked his knee a little bit. And so I think they feel good about him. And as far as, you know, him moving forward, he's just, you know, doing some rehab and stuff. He has a brace on. But he had, you know, not on crutches, none of those things. And so, you know, he's moving around okay. So I think they feel like he'll be fine.
Three-part question here, Jason, and it has to do with the offensive line. And, you know, we see that Prince Tego Onogo has been seeing some first-team reps at left tackle, Darius James to right tackle, Braden Smith. Blah, blah, blah. Is the offensive line rotation set? Will it always be a case where a bunch of different guys are plugged in and played, or does it even matter?
No, I think that's probably the bigger issue than even quarterback, because quarterback has been, you know, it's been, mm-hmm. you know, Jarrett Stidham and Sean White splitting a lot of the first team reps. And so they've gotten a ton of reps when you consider the tempo that guys go through. I mean, you know, they're not missing many plays in the grand scheme of things. Offensive line is so important to find the right five guys and let those guys gel together for as long as possible. And so I think, you know, it's been a search for the right combination. You're right, Prince Tega moving in left tackle. And that's really been kind of one of the looks I've been waiting to see.
Yeah.
Slide him into left tackle. You slide Darius James to right tackle. And you move Braden Smith back inside the guard where he's an All-American. I think that makes you a really strong offensive line group. The question is, can he take it over? Can he own that job and win it, you know, with this opportunity? So I think that's what they're waiting to see. And Saturday will be, you know, talking about quarterback, Saturday will be just as important a day for that offensive line group to see if Herb Hand can start to narrow down his focus on the five guys he wants to put up there.
Gosh, it's going to be interesting. We keep hearing a lot about Sal Cannella, along with another local guy, Jalen Harris, at tight end. What are they? Don't seem to be similar players there. Harris and Cannella. Cannella's a JUCO guy, so he's not an unknown commodity. How do you see that breaking down? How do you think they approach that position on offense?
Yeah, I think Jalen is your classic tight end.
Yeah,
in the running game, short yardage, a guy that you put on the end of the line of scrimmage, and you know he's really gotten much better as a blocker. So I think that's where kind of his you know, role is going to be with this team. You know, Sal Cannella is a guy that's going to be more almost, he's like an Evan Engram kind of guy. He's almost going to be more of a big wide receiver. Matter of fact, he works with wide receivers and position groups. I think he's a guy that's going to be split out. Red zone opportunities, you know, middle of the field. I think those are places where they, you know, I think he's going to get some touch. I think you're right. I think they're completely different types of players. Sal Cannella probably not going to be asked to go down and you know block on defensive ends a whole lot. I think that's going to be Jalen Harris' job.
Jason Caldwell is with us, AUTigers.com. As we look towards the scrimmage on Saturday, defensively, what are the where's the hottest spot? Where's the biggest question yet to be answered?
I think probably
the scrimmage.
That buck position, which, you know, is Paul James, is it Jeff Holland? Is it one of the young guys who steps up and shows that they can be an every down disruptor coming off the edge? I think that's probably the big question mark there. And then, you know, really, the, you know, you feel good about your linebacker, maybe the starters in the secondary, finding which young guys can help you out. I think, you know, Jordan Peters and Trayvon Lehman have done a good part of that already. If they have another solid scrimmage, I think those guys could go a long way towards at least helping some depth issues in the secondary.
What do you – when Jarrett Stidham is announced as the official starter, I'm not sure if it's going to be 30 minutes after the scrimmage or 2 days, but how much – what positions do you foresee Sean White? Is it mop-up duty? Will he – have certain circumstances that he gets in the game? I mean, to me, that's got to be kind of tough for a guy that started and is losing his job. You just don't see that very often. And you got to think this guy's got to have some role.
Well, I mean, you know, he's not a runner. And so that's normally where you bring a guy in for a situational thing. So I don't know that he has any role other than being a number two quarterback if he's the guy. I don't know that, you know, there's any circumstance where you bring him in and go, okay, that's what we want. I mean, I think he's a guy that would be a number two quarterback and one of those guys that if you prepare and get ready in case you need it. And so I think that, you know, if he doesn't win the job, then he's a guy that prepares to be ready, you know, in case he's called upon.
Jason, lots going on, lots of stuff happening leading into that big scrimmage. All the information available on the website at AUTigers.com inside the Auburn Tigers. Give our readers a contact point on how they can access all the information.
Yeah, you can check us out at AUTigers.com as part of the Scout Network, and can find me on Twitter at ITATJason, and can find us on Facebook at AUTigers.com. So lots of ways to come find us today and be a good day today, too. We get assist the coaches today, so we should get a lot of information from those guys about practices so far. So check us out at AUTigers.com.
Man, that is awesome. As always, Jason, we really look forward to talking to you again next week. And, man, have a great day and enjoy it.